We are getting a new series started today called Legacy, and one I'm really excited about relevant to me. One of the things that happens when you're a pastor sometimes, you're getting ready to preach, is usually in the week just before you're preaching on a topic, you have lots of opportunity to be thinking about it. Like, just life kind of throws stuff at you. And so, you know, this past week, one of the things that made the week so intense is I was on Friday with, you know, some people that were associated with the church. I was doing back-to-back funerals and spending a lot of time with grieving families and really seeing, you know, even represented in a memorial service, just how important this topic is that we're about to spend 4 weeks on, this topic of legacy, of how do we pass on our faith to the next generation, and what are we passing on? And so today is just really an introduction to that series. It's not going to answer everything, so as we're kind of getting into this, you're going to have a lot of yeah buts, and why didn't we, and can we talk a bit more about this? Well, we got 4 weeks, but I just want to give us a real quick overview of it today. Because there's something that we all care about, but we struggle with. Let me illustrate it this way, okay? Who here, by a show of hands, would say that family is either important or very important to you? So pretty much everybody. Who here would say, by a show of hands, that having a spiritually supportive, emotionally supportive family is either important or very important? Pretty much everybody in the room, right? Now, I'm not going to ask you to put your hands up on this one. Who here within your families have a regular habit of praying for each other, of maybe reading the Bible together, of having spiritual conversations in the household? I'm not asking you to put your hands up. But that's the gap. And that's what I want to talk about today, is the gap. See, we have this value, but for many of us, we have no action to live that out. We've got no habits in our home of prayer together. We've got no habits in our home of reading the Bible together. We've got no habits in our home of having spiritual conversations together. It's not that we don't care. We just don't have that habit yet. It's interesting to me that over the past few years, Mother's Day, which used to be the third largest church day of the year. You've got Easter, where everybody comes, and Christmas, where everybody comes, then Mother's Day, where a lot of people come, because even if you don't have the same faith as your mother, you think, okay, how can I honor Mom today? What does Mom really care about? What's Mom's priorities? Well, her priorities are faith, one of them, and so I'm going to go to church with Mom. And nowadays, it's actually a day when church attendance tends to drop. Because we're no longer associating, honoring my mom with faith. It's not, I think, that people hate faith. It's just that we think, okay, there's church stuff, and church and faith and that, and there's family stuff, but they don't actually link anywhere. It's even worse with Father's Day. I mean, you think, okay, it's Father's Day. How do we honor our dads? What does he really care about? What's dad's priorities? And so we get him a gadget and buy him barbecue. And we don't even think, my father and family and faith. It's not that our generation is more wicked than any other generation. I mean, we're all messed up. We're all broken. But I think the gap comes down to this. This is my theory, and this is why for the next 3 weeks after this, we're going to be talking a lot about issues of how do we have spiritually supportive families. I think this, for most of us, this is the issue. There's a gap between value and action, and here's the gap. It's the fact that we've never seen it. It's not that we don't care, just we don't have a clue how to do it. And that's my story. Dave last week talked about how he felt like his family, he kind of won the family lottery just because he had a great family. I had a great family growing up. My parents are amazing. They've been married now for 40 plus years. And my dad, who kind of like, oftentimes with men, and I mean, sort of sets the tone for the family. Well, he set a really good tone in our home of reliability and honesty and hard work and thrift. He might have gone overboard on that one, but he set the culture for the family. But we never really talked about spiritual stuff at home. We went to church, and that was good. And, you know, yay, and you guys are doing that too. Yay for you, pat on the back, awesome. That was good. But we never really talked about spiritual things at home. It's like you've got church stuff and you've got home stuff. And so we'd sometimes pray together at meals, usually if somebody else was coming over, like the pastor is coming over, because the pastor loves to pray when he comes over for somebody's house for dinner, right? But we don't really do it ourselves. We don't really talk about it. So it's just weird and awkward, and we didn't really quite know how to do that. Now, I don't mean to sound like I'm bashing on my dad. I'm not. No more than for many of you that couldn't raise your hand today, don't bash on your dads either. Your dad probably was doing the very best he could with what he knew and what he had experienced, or your mom was doing the very best she could with what she had and with what she had experienced. But as I got to know my grandparents, I figured something out. He'd never seen it either. So my dad passed on what he received, and so that was passed on to me. Over the next 4 weeks, I've got two challenges. Because for those of you that couldn't put your hand up, I mean, if we're just being honest, and my experience would say that's probably more than half of the congregation. My gut sense is that most of you don't do this. So here's my challenge. And it's one that you can do. You can do this. It's just really hard, okay? It's to start a spiritual family legacy. That's the challenge. Start a spiritual family legacy. Over the next 4 weeks, we're going to be providing you with tons and tons and tons of resources, everything from a resource table out there to online forums. Our Facebook area is just going to be lit up with ideas and videos and stuff so that you can start a spiritual family legacy. So, you know, whoever you call family, that you find ways to have an encouraging spiritual climate. So you're praying together. You know, you're married, you're boyfriend, girlfriend, you're praying with each other. You're praying with your kids. You're talking with your family about your faith. That's the challenge. And that can start today just by saying, I'm going to make this a priority. And I'm going to take some little step towards this. Now, for some of you, you honestly could put your hand up. You honestly could. And I've got another challenge for you, and this one might even be even harder. Challenge number two. Over the next 4 weeks, I want you to share your legacy with someone. Some of you, you received it from your mom or your dad, or your grandma or your grandpa, and so it's just kind of normal that you think, oh yeah, of course we pray at home. Of course we pray at meals. Of course we pray when we put the kids to bed. Of course husbands and wives pray for each other. Well, duh, of course, and it seems so simple, and it seems just second nature, but you need to know this. The person you are sitting next to or the person that is close by you probably does not have that legacy. And they are dying for it. They want it. They want their families to be spiritually supportive, but they have no clue how to do it because they've never seen it done up close. Now, if we were in an ocean and you had a life preserver in your hand and you saw that same person out in the water drowning, I know that you would throw them a life preserver. I know that you would. But some of you are going to be really tempted to hold back and go, I just don't want to be presumptuous and talk about what our family does. Please, please, I urge you, get over it. This is not an issue. That's false modesty. Because we know that you're not perfect. And we know you're not even smart enough to come up with this stuff on your own. You received it from somebody. You got that legacy from someone, and it's your job to pass it on. And if you're passing it on to your kids, that's great, but you need to pass it on also to your neighbor for the sake of their children and their grandchildren and for the sake of their marriages. We are dying for this, and many of us have never seen it done. So those of you that have it, I'm going to just double dog dare you, whatever I can do to get you to share it. So whether that's, even right now, you can tune out the rest of the sermon and just write what you do in your family that's spiritually helpful on the back of your connection card, put it in the offering plate, and we're going to publish it and get it out to the rest of the congregation so there's some ideas. You could go onto our Facebook, facebook.com/Columbia Grove, and post a video of your family praying together, doing devotions together, praying for your spouse, whatever you do so that somebody else can see it. It's not that we don't care. It's that we don't know how. And you have that. Don't you dare keep it to yourself. Please, 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 please. And throughout this series, we're going to be looking at the book of 1 and 2 Timothy. And today we're just actually focusing on one verse. So if you don't really like the Bible, this is going to be a great day for you. But we're just going to looking at one verse. One verse. In the weeks to come, we're going to look at a whole bunch more. Because Timothy was one of the first second generation leaders in the early church. And he took over an important charge, an important pastorate at a very early age. And as history tells us, was able to live that out very faithfully, you know, until he was in his 80s. This guy was a pillar of faith. And today we see the verse of where he got that faith from. Why he was able to start so strong and end so strong. And it's right here in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5. I am reminded, so Paul's writing to Timothy, this young man that he's been mentoring. I am reminded, Paul writes, of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice and, I am persuaded, now lives in you also. Where did Timothy get it? Well, I mean, faith is a gift from God, but it's very often delivered by family. And it was delivered early on in a sincere way by his grandma, by his mom. And that's what made him the man he is. Timothy received that legacy. And now Timothy gets a chance to pass it on to the next generation, to a church and to parents and people around him. Today I want to talk about your legacy. You know, as we think about passing on our faith to the next generation, there's some myths and challenges that we face, like this myth right here. This is one of our cultural myths. Our culture tells us, I need to let my kids decide for themselves. And it sounds really good, doesn't it? You know, I'm not going to force my faith on my kids. I'm going to let them decide for themselves. Well, I got a newsflash for you. Your kids are already going to decide for themselves. They got brains and they're going to use them. But you, think about this. In every other major area of life, you go out of your way to influence your kids in directions that you know are going to be helpful to them. Like imagine, you know, if you're a parent with young kids, imagine what would happen in your house if you said, I'm just going to let my kids decide for themselves about hygiene. Hey, kids, would you like to take a bath? Or not. It's like to brush your teeth or not. What do you think would happen? Right? Or, you know, with nutrition, you go, oh, we've got amazing daughters. They're just, you know, these beautiful young women. And, you know, if we took them to the grocery store, said, you know, Lauren, Elizabeth, here's $150. Why don't you go in and for the next 2 weeks, just buy whatever it is that you want to eat and we'll bring it home and this will be your food. I mean, we've got great kids, and I kind of know what they'd pick, right? We don't do this with our children because we know even the best kids, if they're given the choice, they're going to choose junk food. Same thing is true spiritually. If we don't have some influence in our life, we're going to choose junk food. We're going to choose spiritual junk food, you know, spirituality that costs us nothing. That revolves, you know, involves no sacrifice, no looking out for the interests of others, no lasting commitment. I mean, that's what our whole culture, it's all about that. It's all about that. Just watch Oprah. We live on spiritual junk food if we just let our kids decide for themselves. But we don't have to do that. If you're a parent, even if you're starting late, you can influence your kids. But for some of us, it's really hard because we've never seen it done. And like I said, that's my story, and I want to tell you the rest of it. I mean, I'm 38 years old, okay? And I have been a Christian, a committed Christian, since I was 13 years old. I've been in youth ministry since I was 18 years old, full-time ministry since I was 20. You can put me in front, and as I've been in front of an entire gym full of high schoolers, give me a topic in the Bible, and I know what to do. But it wasn't until about 3 years ago that I knew how to pray with my kids because I'd never seen it done. I know how to have the church conversations. Now that's, I mean, because I've learned that at church. I know how to talk to teenagers at youth group. If somebody, you know, asks me for prayer about anything, I can do that. But it's awful intimidating having a three-year-old and trying to start a spiritual conversation with them, and I didn't know how to do that because I'd never seen it done. And I'd like to think I'm not an idiot, and I don't think you are either. I just never seen it done, so I didn't know what to do. And so that changed for me when there's another family in our church, the Toths, and I think they're up at their cabin in Mazama this weekend, but they invited us up to, you know, do a multi-family kind of getaway thing, and we were all putting our kids to bed, and I was in the hallway, and I was listening to Andrew put his kids to bed. And so they, you know, it was end of the day, and they're getting all tucked in, and you ask them about what are the things that we're really good about today, and they come up with a little list, and what are the things that were hard about today? And they come up with a little list. And what are you looking forward to? And they talk about that a little bit. And he just led them in prayer. Just this simple little prayer. I mean, maybe 30 seconds, a minute long. And, they said something and he said something. And this amazing moment happened for me as I was eavesdropping from the hallway. I thought, I could do that. I could do that. That's not so hard. And that is exactly what I'm praying will happen for many families in our congregation in the next 4 weeks. Simple, simple little things. This is the battle that is not won by having a two-hour sit down, we're going to read Leviticus together as a family moment. These are 30-second, one-minute, two-minute daily habits. The Thompsons pray together. The Thompsons talk together. That's now the culture of our family. And so at night, when we put our girls to bed, I go in and I ask them about their day and what went well and what maybe didn't go well and what they're looking forward to, and I pray with them and we talk. Sometimes it's really amazing and sometimes not so much, but it's a daily habit. And it's setting a culture in our family. And I believe that that is in some way trying to pass on to my children a legacy that I wish I had. One that I had to steal. I had to eavesdrop and steal it from one of you all. But I hope we're going to make it easier to make theft easy. We're going to put the cookies on the bottom shelf. And we're going to talk for the next 3 weeks about just really simple family habits. Of ways we can talk about faith together, of ways we can pray together, of ways you can read the Bible together. Now, I just want to address one of the challenges that especially parents with kids, and I realize I'm not addressing every element of it. We're going to be talking about more stuff than just this. But one of the challenges that parents have when you're thinking about having a spiritual conversation with your kids is, your kids, they're kind of smart, right? And so they ask questions. Sometimes they ask really hard questions, and we don't know what to say. So I've got three words that are going to be very helpful for you. This actually isn't, I'm going to talk about that in a second, but I got three words that are going to be really helpful for you, okay? I want you to repeat after me, and we're going to see what happens if we say these three words together, okay? I need you to repeat after me. You with me? Okay, okay. No, come on. You with me? We can do this? Okay. I don't know. Notice how the ceiling did not collapse and the floor of the room did not open up and swallow you whole. Let's try it together again and see what happens. I don't know. Wow. Sometimes we get so intimidated because we feel like we don't have all the answers, and that's not even the point. The point is, do you have a culture in your family where you talk about spiritual stuff? Do you have a culture in your family where you can pray together and it's okay? Do you have a culture in your family where you look at God's word together and try to apply it to your lives, even in the things where you don't know? Yes or no? I want you to develop that culture. It's so important. Here's the other challenge that we sometimes have, is that I know what I don't want, but not what I do. I know what I don't want, because some of us were raised in households where, our parents, they tried really hard and they did their best, but What we got was just some sort of this legalistic thing, and it's just, it was kind of rote, and it just wasn't honest. So we just go, I just don't want my kids to have that, but I don't know what I do want them to have. I hope in these next 3 weeks that you'll be gleaning ideas from the people around you and figuring out what it is that you do want. No one of us has it all figured out, not even close. But together, as we share ideas, we can grow. So let's apply it to our lives. I'd like you to take your connection card out, please, and you've got a pen in your hand. Under my big step today, there are two boxes, and every one of us here can check one of those two boxes. My big step today is starting or strengthening a family spiritual tradition. So if earlier today I'm saying, you know, do you have a regular habit of praying with your family? Do you have a regular habit of reading your Bible together? Do you have a regular habit of talking about spiritual things? And you go, well, not so much. It's not that I don't care, but not so much. Over the next 4 weeks, you can start. You can start right here, right now. Whole new legacy for your family, your children, your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren, however many generations you're blessed with. You can start a new legacy. Or two, you've received a legacy from somewhere, and you can share it. Whether you're writing it on the back of the connection card, you post it on Facebook, you email the church office, carrier pigeon, smoke signal, I don't care. Share it with somebody, because the people next to you, the people that have checked off the first box, they're dying for it. They need what you have. So today, do you need to steal a legacy? Do you need to share a legacy? Do you need to steal a legacy? In which case, we're going to try to open up all the doors, and even just even the little simple things, the teeniest little habits, so that you can see them, so that you can steal them, and you can adapt them to your own needs and to your own family. Steal a legacy. Or today, maybe you need to share something that has been helpful to you for the sake of your neighbor, and your neighbor's children, and your neighbor's marriage, and your neighbor's grandchildren and great-grandchildren. You need to share the legacy you've been given with somebody else. I hope I'm being clear. And I hope that as we take this seriously, these simple, simple things, these simple prayers, these simple actions will make a lasting difference in our families. Let's pray together. Lord, for those in our congregation that have received a legacy, oh God, we give you thanks. For those parents and grandparents and aunts and uncles that, though they weren't perfect and they didn't have it all figured out, they did their honest best to pass on their faith to their children, to their nieces and nephews. And we walk in their legacy. We've been strengthened by the gift that they've given. And we thank you. And God, we pray that you would bless our congregation with an open-handedness and enough boldness that we would share it so that others could benefit from their legacy. For those of us because I know this message it hits really close to home. God, I pray you would guard us from the kind of guilt that gets us stuck. And help those of us that have struggled in this area to take a step forward. To pick up an idea from a table, from a friend, from an article, from somewhere, and start something. And try something. That cultures in our families would be established that are supportive. Families that pray for each other. Families that talk about your word together. Families that support each other through thick and thin. That's our prayer. That's our prayer. And we pray that we know, God, that you delight in answering it. So we lift it up to you in Jesus' name. Amen.